favorite Christmas present? Never leave home without it.
Oh, come on, ye faithful, joyful and triumphant.
All right. Thank you. Merry Christmas. Bye.
Hey, good morning. Hey, welcome to URA Community Church. My name's Ron. I'm the lead pastor here. It's so good to have you guys with us, and we're going to give the kids just a couple minutes to scoot on out of here and just be able to kind of get your attention back up here. So thank you for being here this morning. Thank you for coming on this almost Christmas Sunday morning. We got one more to go, and we've already prayed for Gabe as he will be speaking next week. So, she just lives with the pastor. She doesn't know what he does. So anyway, y'all probably didn't catch that, but it was just kind of funny. So thank you for being here. We are in a series called Carols, and it's been just 1 week that we've been into it. But last week, I don't know about you, but it just, that Oh Holy Night just became new again to me as I studied it last week. And I hope if you were here that you see it in a whole different perspective. And that's what we're doing in this series. We're just taking Christmas songs, ones we've been hearing and singing probably most of us all of our lives, and just taking them and drawing something out so that we hopefully see them in a different perspective and are able to see them differently and hear them differently and even think differently whenever we have those songs around us and at this time of year. So if you're not a fan of Christmas music, if you're one of those that's by humbug and you don't want to turn it on until the week before, or maybe not even at all, well, Jesus saves, and I hope he'll save you. No, I'm just kidding. Christmas music's awesome. You should want to listen to it all year round. If you love Christ, man, it's all about him, and so just we want to help you be able to just see it different. So now that I've made you mad at me, let's just think about this. Christmas time is one of my favorite times. I love all the things about it. I love decorating. I love all the things. I really like watching my wife decorate. That's a lot more fun than actually having to do it myself because she's so much better than me. But we have been able to do that together a little bit more this year than really in a long time. And it was kind of cool. We actually got along. That was good, you know. So she still loves me. That's a good thing. But Christmas is one of those things where we just get to celebrate and really just enjoy a time of year that should be very special to us, but it should be a time that reminds us of what the rest of the year really should be like. And so I hope that Christmas will become a much longer time for you today. So today, week two, we're going to be looking at the song, O Come All Ye Faithful. And I don't know if you know much about it. It was written in the 18th century by a man named John Francis Wade, and he originally wrote it in Latin. It was called Adeste Fidelis. I'm not very good with my Latin. Adeste Fidelis. He wrote that song to just signify something very important to us. And in 1841, a man named Frederick Oakley took it and he translated that over into English, and that's where we get our O Come All Ye Faithful that we sing now and are able to recognize. And so what I'd like to do for you right now is I'd like to sing, O Come All Ye Faithful. Is that okay?
Oh, go ahead.
Yeah, no, because you've heard me sing before, not me. But our band and our worship team and our chorale is going to perform that for us. So, O Come All Ye Faithful.
Oh, come ye, oh, come ye.
Let me just say, I have enjoyed just having our carolers, our chorale, whatever you want to call it, whatever they want to call themselves, whatever, however you want to look at it. I love them being a part of our service and just adding to what God's doing. So thank you all so much for taking your time to do that. If you if you sing and would like to be part of that, every week we're going to have them. You can come on Wednesday nights and be able to practice with them and just be able at 7 on Wednesday nights and just practice with them. And it's really cool. I know that that they enjoy being part of it too. But one of the things that we think about is this song, "O Come, All Ye Faithful." Just let me read the words to you. Just listen to this. "O come, all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. O come ye to Bethlehem. O come and behold him, born the King of angels. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him. O come, let us adore him, Christ the Lord." Maybe you're a little bit like me. Maybe you've really never focused in on some of the Christmas songs as the worship songs that they really are meant to be. I know for me, you know, we just always sung them. I grew up in church and just always singing Christmas songs. But, you know, it was one time I was at an event and I saw people raising their hands in worship while we were singing typical Christmas songs. And it dawned on me that the reason why was they were worshiping. Because these are worship songs. These aren't just songs we sing to check off the list or just to be part of it. They are meant for us to worship and acknowledge who Jesus is and who he came to be. And so I want us to be able to look at this, but if you look at "O Come All Ye Faithful" and you really begin to look at it, listen, the very first line ought to wreck us all. And for many of us, it probably does. If you really read the words and you sing it with meaning of who you are, you look at those first words and you say, "O come, all ye faithful, joyful, and triumphant." Those are kind of those three words in there are the ones that really make it hard for us to get beyond. Because we come at this time of year and listen, we feel anything but faithful and joyful and triumphant most of the time. We come and what we really feel is we feel defeated. We feel beat up. We feel like, man, if I can just get this year over with, if I can just get through this time with my family, if I can just make it through this, then everything will be okay. If I can just get to the next place, if I can get over this stress, if I can get over this doubt, if I can get over this depression, I'll be all right. But we really don't feel like we're going to make it through. And that's where a lot of us land right now. Think about it, and I'm like, man, how in the world can I come? I don't feel very faithful. I don't feel very joyful. I don't feel very triumphant. Many of you understand what I'm talking about. Maybe it's the faithful side. Maybe you know that God wants to do something in your life. Some of us in the room have been here, we've been serving, or been coming, and we've been you know, making this our church home, but God's asked us to do something and we just feel like we haven't done it and we don't feel very faithful. Or maybe we're only able to come once in a while and we don't feel very faithful. Maybe there's something that we need to do that God's asked us to do. We just know it, but we haven't done it. And so we come here at this time of year and we recognize who Jesus is and he came and all this, but you know what? He did that for me and I hadn't done anything for him. And many times we look at the things that we are doing and we say, I'm not doing enough. Man, it feels like you know, things aren't going the way I want it to. We just don't feel very faithful. Maybe it's in the being triumphant. You know, we don't use that word a lot to talk about, you know, that's a dime word in a nickel world, you know. And we like, man, oh, that's a little big for me, but triumphant. Think about that word. Some of you are experiencing that as Carolina fans. You feel very triumphant, and that's a cool thing. That's a great place to be, is feeling triumphant. Y'all think it's a joke's coming, I know, and that just makes it funny enough. I don't even have to say anything, but no, it really, it's a great place to be. Come on. All you dressed like in your Panther gear, we got a clothing line ready for you down there. But anyway, No, seriously, it's good. It's a great place to be. And I'm excited for you. I really am. Yeah, I really am. No, seriously, I don't want to take up all the time. But anyway, I'm excited for you. Triumphant is a place that we want to be, but here's the reality, all joking aside. Don't we feel more defeated than we feel triumphant? Don't we feel like life beats us up way more than we beat it up? Don't we feel like things are way more stacked against us than us being able to handle it? I mean, we feel like things are always there. There's financial stuff. There's marriage stuff. There's work stuff. There's parenting stuff. There's all, you know, just family all together, you know, there's stuff. And we feel like it's all up against us. We don't feel very triumphant. Maybe it's the joyful side. I don't know about you, but sometimes joy, at this time of year, it just gets sucked right out of the room. You know, you're around a bunch of people and you're in it and something happens, joy just shoop, right out. You know, there is no joy in Walmart. You know, forget that. It just don't even exist. Because, you know, you go there every time and hopefully none of you work there because that would be bad. But anyway, not bad. It's bad because I said it. But if you go there, you know, they got one line open at Christmas time. And maybe they got two. And so you get lucky enough, you get there at two, and there's two lines, and you play the pick the line game. Anybody played the pick the line game before? There's two, and you're like, okay, which one am I going to get through the quickest? If you're like me, you always pick the wrong one. It never fails. And you even try to, you know, you try to act like you're looking at something and like scoot to the next line, you know, and then still the person that was behind you still beats you out. Just never fails. Because here's what happens. You get behind that person that's in the episode of Extreme Couponing, right? And they got to do like 54 purchases so they can get all their coupons. This is no joke. It happened to me the other morning at Walmart at 5 o'clock in the morning. I got behind Mr. Coupon, and I had to wait for him to buy, no joke, 10 things of Tide, and he had a coupon for every single one of them. He paid like 85 cents, but it took him like 6 hours, all right? I don't know about you, my time's worth more money than that. But anyway, that's all right. But I had to stand there and wait. You know, he wouldn't at least let me bust in and just get myself done and get out of the way. But that happens, or, you know, you get behind the person that picked the one thing that doesn't have the sticker on it, and you got to wait for somebody from that department to come and get it and go back to get it and then all that. And it's like, it takes forever, you know. And so it just happens. So joy gets sucked out of us really fast at this time of year. There's times when we look at our bank account and we become very worrisome and we become very stressed because somebody's, you know, the money's gone. And we don't have much joy. And so when we look at this song and we say, oh, come all ye faithful, be joyful and triumphant, and we're like, it just struck out on all three of them. So what in the world do we do? Well, this song is calling, oh come. And so maybe let's think about who Jesus is calling here, because I think if we see these words and these things, it's like he's calling the joyful, the faithful, and the triumphant, but who's he really calling? Who is it that Jesus calls? Well, first, if you're taking notes, here's what it says. Jesus calls the weary and the burdened. Matthew 11:28 says, come to me. This is Jesus saying this to us. Come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Not I might give you, not you know, if you act just right. No, he says, if you'll come to me, I'll give you rest. What an incredible promise. If he calls, you know, us, then he says that's what he'll do if we'll come. So he calls the weary and burdened. I think we can identify with weary and burdened a lot in our lives. Who else does he call? Jesus calls the sinners. Matthew 9, verses 12 and 13 says, but when he heard it, he said, those who are well have no need of a physician, but those who are sick, that's who needs it. But those who are sick, those are the ones that need a physician. Not the ones that are healthy and well, and doing well, but the ones that are sick. He says, go and learn what this means. I desire mercy and not sacrifice, for I came not to call the righteous, but sinners. He calls the sinners to come to him. He calls those who are weary and burdened, and those who have got stuff in their lives that keeps them from having the relationship with him that he wants to have with them. Well, guess what? The Bible tells us that we've all sinned. And I think we can all agree that we are all become weary and burdened. So who is it Jesus calls? He calls us. I think it would be easy to change the words of, "Oh, come all you faithful. Oh, come all you sinners. Ye who are weary and burdened, come. Oh, come ye to Bethlehem." If you're weary and burdened and you're a sinner, then come, because that's who Jesus came for. And I think that we could all agree that's all of us. But the good news is that may be where we feel like we are, and Jesus comes for us while we're there, but he doesn't leave us there. He doesn't leave us at that place. And we can get excited about that. 2 Corinthians 5:17 says, "Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has what? Passed away. And the new has come," right? So the old's gone and the new's come. So if we feel like we were weary and burdened and we were a sinner, guess what? Jesus came, and when we accept him, we recognize that he died on a cross to pay the price for our sins, that he hung there and bled and died, was taken down, buried, and on the third day was raised again. Listen, when you understand what he came for and what he did, then you are a new creation when you accept that. And so we don't have to come as weary, burdened sinners anymore. If we accept it, there is something better for us. This song doesn't have to be about the negative side. We can truly see it for what it's meant to be faithful, to be joyful, and to be triumphant. This song is powerful when you really dig down into it, because we don't have to stay where we were. And for some of us, we don't have to stay where we are. There is a place that he wants to take us. There is something that he wants to do for us. He wants to help us become something more. What is that? What are those things that Jesus helps us to become? Let's dig down into this a little bit deeper. Jesus came to help us become more faithful. If we say, "Hey, I'm struggling with that song because I don't feel very faithful." Well, listen, Jesus comes to help us become more faithful. Hebrews 12, verse 12 says, "Looking to Jesus, the founder and perfecter of our faith, who for the joy that was set before him endured the cross." The cross ever sound very joyful to anybody? If you really understood and read about the crucifixion, do you think there was much joy in what Jesus was going through there? No, absolutely not. But listen, the reason that he endured that was because of the joy that would come after, that we would have an opportunity to accept what he did for us, the sacrifice he made, and have a relationship with him. That's the joy that comes for him. The joy set before him. He endured the cross, despising the shame, and is seated at the right hand of the throne of God. Our faith comes from the one who authors it. He gives it to us, and then he goes about the work of perfecting it. Listen, some of us feel like we're not there. That's okay, because he's the perfecter of it. He's the one who moves us towards more faithfulness. If you feel like you haven't been doing the things that he's asked you to do, guess what? He's the one who perfects you. He's the one who moves you, and you need to come to a place to understand that. And if you're not feeling very faithful and you feel like you haven't followed him, guess what? You can start today. You don't have to wait for something else to happen. You just come to him, because he says that he will give you that, and he makes you more faithful. How does he perfect our faith? How does he make us better? Romans 10:17 says, "So faith comes from hearing, and hearing through the word of Christ." Listen, if you want to see your faith perfected, then it's very simple. You know, it's kind of like what we say every week, but it's the reality of it. It's to study what he says to us in this book that we call the Bible. It's not some simple book. It's not just one that we take lightly. This is God's word to us that tells us exactly who he is and who he wants us to be. Listen, if you're struggling, man, your marriage is struggling, your finances are struggling, if your job's struggling, if your friendships are struggling, your marriage is struggling, it's in here, I promise. But you're going to have to do a little work. You're going to have to dig down into it, and you're going to have to read it, and you're going to have to understand it, because here's what this does for us. This doesn't make your marriage better. Okay? Hear me out here. Hold on. This doesn't make your marriage better. This makes you better. And therefore, God makes your marriage better. It's all about what becomes of us and the relationships and the situations and everything else. It's about us being perfected so that maybe things don't get better in the sense that we want it to, but we get better and we're able to deal with it differently. We're able to know how to handle it. Sometimes there's some advice that people come to me for, and really all I do is this. I just open it up and begin to read because it's in there. I can't say any more than that. The reality is that he perfects us through his word. We hear it, and hearing it builds our faith. I think about times of struggle in my life and times I've gone through things, because one thing I've learned is that by hearing his word, it builds my faith. It makes me trust him more. I remember there was a very difficult time in my life. It was really a time of where I was just a knucklehead. I just made some bad choices and made some really terrible decisions. And I remember just struggling with where I was and, you know, what do I do? Do I turn my back on God and walk away? Do I turn my back on my family and walk away? Do I turn my back on my friends and walk away? Do I just go? Anybody, hey, don't raise your hand, but you ever been there where you just say, you know what, it'd be a whole lot easier for me just to leave. Maybe some of us in the room, we've said, hey, it'd be a whole lot easier if I just left completely and for good. But here's what happened in the middle of that. I remember a friend bringing a verse to me. He came and was sharing with me about what it was that was going on, and it was just a moment where it was as if God was sitting in the room with me. And here's what he read to me. He says, when you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. When you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Isaiah 43. Listen to those words. When you pass through the waters, I will be with you. And through the rivers, they shall not overwhelm you. And when you walk through fire, you shall not be burned, and the flame shall not consume you. Some of us feel like we're overwhelmed with the water right now. We feel like we're burning alive. And we're just in the middle of a situation we have no idea how to get out of. Let me read verse 3 for you. For I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. Those words, they brought me out of a very dark place in my life because I felt consumed. I felt like I was there. I was drowning and burning all at the same time. And I was reminded that he is God. And when we get tired and we get wearisome and burdensome and we don't feel faithful and we don't feel triumphant, listen, he is there to rescue us, to bring us out. And he's not just there to be our go-to when things aren't good. Listen, he's there to keep us from finding ourselves in those places. It all sounds like some fairy tale sometimes, right? When you read about it and you hear about it, but then when you begin to live it out, you realize there's no fairy tale to it. It's not some Pixar video. It's the reality of God's word and who he is. He wants us to be more faithful, and he wants to help us to be able to do that. In the process, you hear God's word and it builds your faith. Jesus helps us to become more faithful as we're in his word. And it gets inside of us and God's word permeates our being. Listen, I don't make all the right choices all the time. I make some dumb decisions still. But I, you know what I've kind of begun to narrow it down to when I make those dumb decisions? Those are Ron making those decisions. Based on Ron. And I do it way too often. I'm just being transparent with you. Because I don't want you to think you're alone in it. We all do it. But the reality is when I make sure that I do everything I can by what he says, I avoid a lot of that junk. And some things are just going to come at us. Life's going to have its difficulties. We're just going to have to face it. But I promise you, if you face it with the word of God permeating your being, you'll look at it a whole lot differently, and it will not consume you, and it will not overwhelm you. And we can become more faithful. Here's the second thing. Jesus helps us to become more joyful. He helps us to be more joyful. You know, sometimes I'm guilty personally, you know, and I know some of you just guilty of not being very joyful. You may feel it inside, but my face hadn't told my, my mind hadn't told my face yet and all that stuff. It just doesn't seem to come out sometimes. But joyful is one of those things that Jesus helps us become more of. It's part of the relationship we have with him. Galatians 5, verse 22 and 23 say, but the fruit of the Spirit, when we accept Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit comes to live within us, and there is fruit that grows on the tree because of that relationship. It's love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, self-control. And the Bible says, against those things there is no law. It's not against the law to be joyful, even at Christmas time. Okay? You know, you can live that out at Walmart or wherever it is you shop. You know, you may not get it back, but you surely can give it, right? So the other morning, the man with the 10 things of tithe, listen, I just had a great conversation with him and was nice to him, right? And so I didn't let it get my joy. I felt like it, but I didn't let it. You know, I just kept that going. And so even invited him to church. He could go home, take his tithe home, and come back, all right? So you know, those are the things that we got to be able to keep our joy. An apple tree is going to produce what? Apples, right? Yeah, pears. Some of you must be from, never mind. I was going to say Montgomery County, but that's true. No, I'm just kidding. It's not true. No, I'm just kidding. Sorry. All right, so the reality is an apple tree produces what? Stanley County? Apples, right. Thank you. So apples produce apples. Can an apple tree produce a pear? No, it can't do it, right? Because it's just impossible. No matter how hard it tries, it can't grow the little flower, and the bees can't put enough. It can't happen. And it's the same here. When we don't have a relationship with Christ, listen, it's impossible to truly have joy. Now, I know what you're thinking, man. I feel pretty good sometimes when, you know, and I'm here. I feel pretty good without him. Well, here's the reality. Happiness is what often comes and is mistaken for joy. We've talked about it a lot. And happiness depends on happenings. If good things are happening, we're happy, right? If things are going our way, we're happy. But what happens is that joy, though, it depends on Jesus. If you truly want to have that feeling inside of you of just knowing that things are good and being able to look at bad situations and have a positive spin on it, listen, that kind of joy, that comes from your relationship with Christ. And it only comes from that because joy is one of those, it's the fruit of the Spirit. So if the Spirit's not there, you can't experience joy. You can be in the worst time of your life where you do feel overwhelmed and feel like you're being consumed, but you could still have joy when your relationship with Christ is where it needs to be. We need to understand that joy and happiness are worlds apart. And we are created out of a relationship with Christ to have that true joy, to not let our circumstances get us. It's tough sometimes because we get in ourselves and we look at our situations more than we look at our Savior. But the reality is that if we want joy, Jesus is who helps us become more joyful. Happiness depends on happenings. Joy depends on Jesus. We see it in the Christmas story. Look with me to Luke chapter 2, verse 10. It says this, and the angel said to them, fear not. For behold, I bring you good news of great what? Joy. That will be for all the people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior who is called, who is Christ the Lord. If that joy comes from recognizing who Jesus is and knowing that he came for all of us. He's come to make us more faithful. He's come to make us more joyful. And he's come to help us become more triumphant. Now, to feel more triumphant, sometimes we got to look at situations around us. Many times our triumphant feelings come because of who we know has our back. When I was in high school, my senior year, I was a football player and had, you know, kind of athlete, had all these things going on and all these things. Well, for some reason, I developed this issue with this one guy. I don't know. He just didn't like me, and I just didn't like him. You know somebody like that? Yeah, hopefully you're not married to him. But the reality is that sometimes you just don't hit it off with somebody. And me and this guy, for some reason, just didn't hit it. The problem with this guy was he's about half my size, you know, but had like twice my attitude. And he had two twin brothers. And so it was anytime you took on this one guy, you had to take on all three of them. And so there was a time we were walking down the hallway, and he decided that he was going to bump into me. And so he did it, and he just, you know, one of those kind of goes by you and all that. Well, back then, you know, I didn't even think. I spun around, and it was time to go, right? And so I had him. He was up against the locker. You know, some of y'all are like, the preacher's telling this story? Yes. I'm just being real, okay? That was before Christ, okay? Those were BC days. But I jacked him up, put him on the locker, and then all of a sudden, before I could blink, his two brothers were there too, right? And so it's about to be a mess. But all of a sudden, I'm standing there, and they're just running their mouth, and no punches are thrown yet. All of a sudden, I see this arm come over my shoulder and grab one of those brothers and take him and throw him out of the way. And it was my really good friend named Kevin. Now, my best friend's name is Kevin. This Kevin is a little bit different. This Kevin was about 6'4", you know, about 240, and he wasn't the same color as me, okay? He was African-American, but he was like my guy. And we hung out together, and I knew he had my back, and I had his back anytime. We played together on the team, and I would take him home and all this stuff. And so when that happened, you know, I was really ready to go. Right? Because why? Because now it wasn't me and three guys. It was me and Kevin, who's like three guys against those three guys. Right? And so the reason I tell that story is not to pump me up or whatever. It's just the reality that all of a sudden I'd be honest, I'd back down because I wasn't ready to get my butt tore up right there in the hallway by three guys. But when I had somebody that had my back, it was a whole different story. And I bowed up like a little bantam rooster and was ready to go, you know? And somebody's ready to get clawed up. But no, so here's the thing. Whenever we find ourselves at a place where life is getting us and everything's bigger and we begin to cower against it, listen, whenever we realize that somebody's got our back, we take on things a lot different. When we're alone and we feel like we have nobody else, listen, life begins to get us. And we tend to back away and we just let it happen. But when we realize that Jesus has our back, listen, we can take on life and be triumphant in it. And realize that there's a big old arm that can come over and take something out of our way. We just got to let him do it. Jesus is the one who comes to make us more triumphant. He comes to make us more faithful and more joyful, but this word triumphant means greater than anything we can imagine. It is a time where we get to understand who he truly is. We realize he's got our back, man. We should be able to take on the world. We should be able to make it through those financial difficulties. Listen, they're still going to be tough. But now that we know somebody's got our back and he's helped us to know how to deal with those things, now we can take them on a little bit different. Now that our marriage is struggling and Jesus has got our back, now we can take that on a little bit different. Now that things aren't going well with our kids, you know, they're getting ready to turn 13 and they already know it all. You know, now we know Jesus got our back. We can take that on a lot different. When Jesus has our back, we can be more triumphant. Listen to the words. We've already heard it today. They didn't know I was going to read it, and I didn't know they were going to read it, but listen to this. Isaiah 9, verses 6 and 7. For unto us a child is born. These words were written hundreds of years before Jesus would come. Isaiah says, for to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. That's who's got your back if you have a relationship with Christ. That ought to jack you up, folks, to know that you can take on things. It says, of the increase of his government and of peace, there will be no end. And on the throne of David and over his kingdom to establish it and uphold it with justice and with righteousness from this time forth and what? Forevermore. The zeal of the Lord of hosts will do this. That's who's got our back if we have a relationship with Christ. This morning, if you've been struggling with these areas of faithfulness and of joyfulness and of triumphantness, if you've been worried about not being able to handle life where it is and where it's got you, then listen, let Jesus help you become what he wants you to be. Let him help you become more joyful. If you're not very, very joyful, you can't seem to find a smile anywhere, listen, get some Jesus. If you're not feeling faithful and you feel like you're not doing the things he's asked you to do, listen, if he's told you to do it, he's going to help you do it. Don't be afraid of it. If you feel like you're losing, you feel like life's getting the better of you, listen, let Jesus come on because he's got your back. It says forevermore. There won't be an end to who he is. I don't know about you, but that's what I see. Now when I hear this song, oh come all ye faithful, joyful and triumphant. Listen, we see the manger scene. And next week we're gonna talk about, Pastor Gabe's gonna talk about one of my favorite hymns, Away in a Manger. And we always see the cute little baby in the manger, and it's always so kind and gentle and we just love it and it's all good and you know, all that stuff. But listen to who that baby is. Just imagine this. That little baby. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lord of Lords. He's the Alpha and the Omega. The beginning and the end. He's the author of life. The Prince of Peace. The author of our faith. The perfecter of it. He's the one who spoke everything into existence. He's the bread of life. He's our salvation. He's the lifter of our head. Maybe this morning you need your head lifted. That's Jesus who can do that. The song says he's born the King of Angels. We've come to adore him, Christ, the Lord. We've come to understand who it is that fights for us and with us. My prayer is that you hear the truth of this song to recognize that he's called us to come. We don't have to let who we think we are get in the way of who he created us to be. This morning, come, all ye faithful. Be joyful. Know that you're triumphant. Come to Bethlehem where this baby was born and recognize that he was born to be all of those things. Come see the King of Angels. Would you come? Would you come and adore him? Come and adore him. Oh, come and adore him. God, this morning we pray in these moments, that you would show yourself to us. God is the one who has authored our faith, the one who has created us for a purpose. God, this morning may we come, whether we feel joyful, whether we feel triumphant, whether we feel faithful or not. God, may we come knowing that you are who you are. And that, God, that those things come out of us having a relationship with you. So, God, in this place this morning, if there's someone who's never begun a relationship with you, that's never come to a place where they acknowledge the fact that you died on a cross, you paid the price for all the sins of mankind, you paid the price for their sin, that you were buried and raised again on the third day so that they don't have to just experience forgiveness once, but they get to experience forgiveness for all eternity. God, in these moments, if there's someone here who's never done that, may this be the day that they accept it. To be that day of salvation, the day of saving by Jesus. God, there is no greater joy than to recognize that your sin has been forgiven for all eternity. So God, if there's someone here today that needs to make that decision, may they make it right now. God, for those in the room who've made that decision before, but God, just haven't lived out the joyfulness and the triumphantness of the gospel, may they come to a place of recognizing that and ask for forgiveness, and God, begin to live it out in their lives. God, for those that are in the room that have struggled with faithfulness and just not feeling like they've done everything that you've asked them to do, God, may they come right now and just ask you to forgive them of that. God, as we approach Christmas very quickly, as we approach it the way that we typically do, God, may we unplug from the commercial side. May we just unplug from all the craziness of it, and may we be able to live out our faithfulness in acknowledging you. May we celebrate the joyfulness that we get to have because you are our Savior. God, may we live in the triumphant place of knowing that, God, that you have conquered death and the grave so that we can have a relationship with you and be restored there for all eternity. God, in these next moments as the band plays, I pray that you'll give us freedom in this place. God, for those that have been struggling with what to do and why doesn't Christmas mean anything, why doesn't it bring me the joy that I'm looking for, God, may they recognize now that it's because they don't have a relationship with you or that relationship is at a place that's just not healthy. God, I pray that in this time that there would be people bowed just asking you for forgiveness, asking you to give them more faithfulness, more joyfulness, more triumphantness. God, I pray in these moments that we would be changed because of spending this time with you, and we pray all of this in this powerful name of Jesus. Amen.